morning we're going to talk about the power of the empty tomb. I always look forward to Easter. It's one of my favorite times of year. It signifies the end of winter to me, and hopefully the weather and the forecast will cooperate. I just like the change to spring and summer and fall that are coming. And to be together on a day like this, that I hope the Easter Bunny came to your house, Easter Bunny came to my house. Easter Bunny always forgets me but remembers my girls. I guess that's more important. I just love this time. And so to gather and celebrate Christ's resurrection like we do each Sunday, this is a special time. The power of the empty tomb. The most famous tomb in the history of mankind, because of its contents, is that of King Tut. This tomb was discovered in 1922 by Howard Carter and his crew. The contents are, of course, priceless, but their estimated value for insurance purposes is over $800 million. In fact, the coffin alone weighs about what some of our vehicles weigh, 3,000 pounds. It was a tremendous find, and it's an amazing thing to think about. And yet, there's another famous tomb. Not famous because of its contents, because in Jesus' tomb, really only a folded burial cloth was found. But that tomb represents the power that is so important to us. And so this morning I want to look at three ways that the empty tomb of Christ means power for us. And the first is power of proof. You will have friends, you will have co-workers, and probably already have, but people will question more and more, how do you know Christ rose from the dead? Just because someone said he did, just because people believed he did, and yet the empty tomb is really more significant than you might think. The reality is all but four of the world religions, major religions, are based on philosophies of living. How to live. This is a kind of enlightenment type of things. But there are four world religions that are based on individuals, a person. Only Christianity claims an empty tomb for its founder. And so in 1900 BC, Judaism's father Abraham died. In 483 BC, Buddha died. In 632 AD, Muhammad died. In 33 AD, Jesus died, but he came back to life, appearing to 500 people over a period of 40 days. There is proof in the empty tomb, because how else do you explain it? How else do you explain the empty tomb? We have four options. So starting with option number one. Option number one, well, maybe the tomb was empty because the Jews stole his body. Or maybe the Romans stole it. Maybe the Jews stole it. Well, why? First of all, what's the motive? Why would the Jews steal his body? Isn't it true that the Jews were, many of them, against Jesus? Were they not the ones who 50 days prior said, 50 days prior from Pentecost, but are they not the ones who said, crucify him, crucify him? When Pilate was standing before them trying to release Jesus, crucify him, crucify him. So why would the Jews steal his body? They wanted him dead. The Jewish leaders wanted this movement dead. All right, why would the Romans, maybe the Romans stole his body. Why would they steal his body? Pilate granted them their wish for a reason. Scholars generally agree the reason was Pilate was over this part of the Roman world, and when you're over an area, you don't want news getting back to headquarters that you can't control your people. The Romans had no motive for stealing Jesus' body. It makes no sense. And so option number two, maybe Jesus' disciples stole his body. Okay, this one makes a little more sense to me. The disciples, they cared about Jesus. They loved Jesus. And so wouldn't this be a great hoax? And I agree. All right, maybe the disciples pulled this off. They stole his body. Well, that makes sense, except days, weeks, months, and years later, these same disciples who were, as R.W. mentioned, when Jesus was being tried, they scattered. They were afraid. Peter denied him three times that very night. The same disciples who were afraid in that moment, after the resurrection that they believed in, they were willing to be tortured. They were willing to be killed. Weeks later, months later, they were imprisoned. In fact, tradition says all the apostles, except John, died a martyr's death. Now, I understand a hoax, but would you die on a cross, as tradition says Peter did, upside down, for something that you knew was false? And so option two makes no sense. Option three, maybe Jesus lived through the crucifixion. All right, they crucified him, took him down. Maybe he was in a coma. They put him in the tomb. He's not dead. He's just in a coma. They can't really find a heartbeat, right? And he recovers from this thing. Somehow he moves the stone. Somehow he gets past the Roman soldiers. Well, first of all, scholars generally agree on this, that he did in fact die. Remember, he was flogged before he was crucified. Okay? Remember, they pierced his side. And remember, the Romans, if they were incompetent in anything, it was not in the death penalty. Romans were not incompetent at crucifying people. And so this one makes no sense. What we find, ironically, with the empty tomb, what we find is great proof because there's no other reasonable explanation. And so the empty tomb is power for us, because otherwise, what are we doing here? We're 2,000 years removed from this. I believe the Bible's inspired. Well, maybe, what if it's just made up? The empty tomb is part of the reason I'm here. There's no other explanation. Well, number two, the empty tomb is power because it represents power over death. Man's greatest fear. Sometimes people speculate. You may think, if you've ever had to do public speaking and you didn't, most of us don't want to. In fact, I remember in high school, I hated that. I hated getting up in front of the class and you have your cards. And I mean, that's a nightmare, believe it or not. And so most people, you hate public speaking. There's one thing we fear more than anything, and that's death. I've seen my loved ones being on their deathbed, not being able to live anymore, right? Not having life. Their bodies they're at the point where they need to pass. They want to die, right? And go on to heaven. They want to die. They're worn out. They're tired. But what happens? They keep living. Our bodies are designed to live even beyond when we want to. I've seen doctors say that people would not survive, and they did survive. And so we were created to do everything possible to live. Man's greatest fear is death. And there's no power on earth that has been able to defeat death until about 2,000 years ago. There was one who said he was God, and then he proved he was God. Romans 6 tells us, if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death has no longer has mastery over him. In 1 Corinthians, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Jesus conquered death. We had a memorial recently for Edra Crude, our sister. And at that memorial, it was a celebration. And we talked about when someone finishes a race, we celebrate for them. And when a Christian dies, we can celebrate because our Savior has defeated death. There's a movie, one of my favorite movies. If you know me, you realize when I say favorite movie, it doesn't mean it's a really highly rated movie. Okay, anyone seen the movie Major Payne? Right, Major Payne. I describe it as about seventh grade humor. Okay, and that may be an insult to seventh graders. Really, maybe fifth grade. Okay, I like those kind of movies. And so, there's a part in Major Payne. The premise for the movie is you have this this Marine who in battle, he's a fighting machine. Okay, he's made it to the rank of major, and that's where he really needs to be. But it's a time of peacetime, and there's no more battles. You've killed them all, you've won them all, and so they put him in a junior ROTC program. And he's at this campus, and he has this group of teenage boys ranging from about age 7 to 17, and he's in charge of them. And so that's what the movie is set up on. Well, there's one part where the youngest of those boys, about age 7, he's scared at bedtime. He can't go to sleep because he's scared. Well, Major Payne goes in the room, and what's the problem? Well, he's scared of the bad man that's in the closet, the boogeyman. Right? A couple of y'all, I know at least two of you have seen this movie. And so that was funny, right? So he takes his pistol, turns to the closet, and empties his gun in that closet, right? Boom, 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 boom. Turns back around to the boy and says, well, if he's still in there, he ain't happy. I love that. The reality is, 2,000 years ago, our Savior demolished death. Our Savior owned it, destroyed it. And if you're a child of God, you don't have to fear it. The devil gets whipped by God every day. Every day. And 2,000 years ago, he got the beating of his life because Jesus conquered, defeated, and demonstrated victory over the one thing that the devil could cause us to fear most in this life, and that is death. Jesus defeated death, and the empty tomb gives us power over death. Now, do I want to die? No, everything about me is made to live. But when we die, we don't fear it like the world does. Jesus gave us power to be changed. Power to be changed. The empty tomb does that for us. People live their whole lives struggling. Now, we enjoy life, don't we? But the older you get, maybe that's just my experience, the older you get, the more struggle you see in life. And if you don't experience it firsthand, you experience it through your loved ones. Life is difficult. We oftentimes want to be someone we aren't. We have weaknesses, we have failures, we have defeats. We've tried everything this world has to offer, and we still come up empty. Without the resurrection of Jesus, what is his death on the cross? Think about it. If there's no resurrection, when Jesus died on the cross, how is he any different than the thieves on his right and left? Well, he claimed to be this. Well, so did Buddha, and so did Muhammad. Okay? If there's no resurrection, those things mean nothing. But the reality is, God died, God sacrificed, a perfect one took my place, and then he rose from the dead to prove it. God has the power to change my life. I can be changed since there's a loving God who solved my guilt problem. Jesus' death on the cross, including his resurrection, solved my guilt problem. I have no other way to get rid of my sins. Have you ever tried to get rid of your sin? You ever tried to kind of justify it and rationalize it and just move on from your mistakes and your sins? You can't do it. They come with you, but Jesus solved that problem. I have a God who gave me a Savior who will help me and strengthen me and guide me. I am not the man I used to be. Are we the people we used to be? We don't carry around the chains of hurt and shame and regret anymore. We've been changed. There's a song that I like by Rascal Flatts, and it says, I came up out of the water, raised my hands up to the Father, gave it all to him that day. Felt a new wind kiss my face, walked away, eyes wide open, could finally see where I was going. It didn't matter where I had been. I'm not the same man I was then. I got a lot of, hey, I'm sorries. The things I've done, man, that was not me. I wish I could take it all back. I just want to tell him that. I got off track. I made mistakes, backslid my way into that place where souls get lost, lines get crossed, and the pain won't go away. I hit my knees, now here I stand. There I was, now here I am. Now here I am. I'm changed. Isn't that the story of Christianity? It's not just the story of, hey, you need to act right, don't do this, otherwise you're going to hell. I'm not saying that's not true, but that's not the story. The story is God changed my life because God has the power to do that. I don't. I can't. And I've tried, and you've tried, and everyone we know, a lot of people we know are trying, and they just haven't realized it yet. They have not figured it out yet. But Christianity is about being changed. Acts says, then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. 2,000 years ago, an angel said, you need to go tell people they don't have to live that way. They can be changed. Go tell them about it. Tell them of the new life. And we stand here 2,000 years removed. Each generation has had people like us telling the world there's a new way to live. There's a new life. And people may say, how? And part of the answer is because we have a Savior who rose from the dead. There's power in that. When King Tut's tomb was discovered, there were three coffins. This is the outer coffin. There's a coffin inside that and a coffin inside that. When they opened these coffins, when they finally got down to the third coffin, do you know what they found? Two things. Stench and death. Okay? In King Tut's tomb is stench and death. But in our Savior's tomb, do you know what you'll find? You find power. Not because of what's in it, but because of what's not in it. The empty tomb is powerful because it can deliver you from your old life and give you new life. And that's what we celebrate. We celebrate it every Sunday. And we celebrate it today. There may be one here. There may be one here who's never been changed. There may be one here who's never come up out of the water, free from sin, having your sins washed away. Jesus said, Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. There may be one here who has not been saved, not had your sins washed away. We're ready to do that this morning. There are reasons, if this is you, there are reasons you haven't yet, but I promise you, all of those reasons are from Satan himself, and not one of them is from God. If you haven't been changed, let us help you this morning. Let us rejoice with you. Let us do that. Make it known to us while we stand and sing. God sent his Son.